God is light. But don't think of that as a literal statement. If it was literal, then the reverse would also be true, that light is God. And we, of course, all know that is not accurate. God is light, metaphorically. The first thing that God created was light. He spoke into the darkness and said, "Let there be light," and there was. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Merry Christmas. God designed light at the literal inception of history to serve as an abiding symbolic representation of himself. James chapter 1, verse 17 describes him as the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Jesus has come to illuminate the nature and character and holiness of God to you. He has come to shine a light on who he is and what he is like. He has come to end any claim of ambiguity of who God is. You cannot say you do not understand who God is, that you have any claim of ambiguity or surprise about his identity. There is no excuse. He has revealed the Father. He radiates the glory of God. He shines forth, publicizing and heralding to the entire world, salvation is available in no one else. The light of Christ reveals glory. He is the radiance of the world, the light of the world. Hebrews 1:3 speaks of him being the very radiance of the glory of God. The most well-known declaration about Jesus being compared to light is found in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said these famous words, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What you may not know is that this statement that Jesus makes is the beginning of what was doubtless the most fiery conversation that Jesus ever had with the Jewish leaders. It rapidly turned away from a conversation just about light, and it turned to a conversation about parentage. It's here in John chapter 8 where the Pharisees took their best shot at undermining the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to watch the whole fight tonight, but let me give you some of the highlights of the most powerful punches that were thrown. The Pharisees took their first shot by saying, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Of course, you know, in the Hebrew tradition that they had to have two witnesses to any truth claim that would stand up in court. And they're saying, you're just telling us yourself. You need someone else to bear witness about you. Jesus' counterpunch went like this. He said, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going." Tonight is Christmas Eve, and we have gathered here to celebrate the very thing that Jesus is addressing with these Pharisees. His origin story. Where does he come from? His birth is unique amongst all who have ever been born into this world. And the question that Jesus is addressing in these verses is one that either makes or breaks the gospel. If Jesus is who he said he is, and if he was born differently than all of us in the ways that he says here in John chapter 8, then everyone in this room, and indeed everyone in the world, is accountable to him. Where is Jesus from? He goes on in verses 16 to 18 to explain that he was sent by the Father. Now, the Pharisees, being the grinchy, argumentative, antichrist types that they were, they snapped back and they said, "Well, then where is your Father?" Jesus replied, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." If you're not a Christian, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm really grateful that you're joining us this evening. Merry Christmas to you. We do thank the Lord that he brought you here. It is no accident that you are with us tonight. But I also want you to know that you might be just like these Pharisees. You see, they argued against him. They, in fact, hated him. They tried to undermine him. They rejected him. If you're not a Christian, they rejected him just like you. But as Jesus said, they did not know him. They are missing the point of who he is. Jesus then told the Pharisees, "I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Where is Jesus from? Well, according to him, he is from above. He is fundamentally different from you and I. We all had a particular origin. There was a point when you did not exist, but through God's perfect plan and through the procreation of your parents, you were given life. And at that point, you were knit together in your mother's womb. Your body and soul were created. Where are you from? Well, you're from the world. You are from your mother and father. And Jesus said that he is not. He is not from this world. He is not from that kind of parentage. He is from above. He's from heaven. And this is a direct claim, by the way, of deity. Jesus is claiming that he is the very Son of God, born into the world, sent by God the Father. Now, Jesus went on to tell them that they are slaves to their sin, and they respond by saying, well, let's talk about our parents again. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham. In other words, you say that we're slaves to sin. We're not slaves to anybody. We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you can become free? And Jesus answered them, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Now notice that Jesus has turned the tables. He is no longer speaking about where he came from. He is now speaking about where they come from. But make no mistake, he is still speaking about parentage. He is insinuating that they have a parent that they don't recognize. He is insinuating that they have some kind of an evil origin, but he has not spelled it out yet. Now, realizing that Jesus has just undermined their claim that Abraham is their father, they double down and they answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. Now, this is really key. He makes a distinction here. He is declaring, Abraham actually is not your father. You have a different father. But he doesn't say who it is. You have a different progenitor altogether. But Jesus doesn't spell it out. Now here we see the Pharisees begin to go into full tilt. They are furious. And it's here that they are going to make several accusations in a row that totally undermine the gospel if they are true. Listen to how they attack. They said to him, well, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Now, this is a direct assault on the Christmas story. Where does Jesus come from? The Pharisees accused Mary of sexual immorality. They claimed that all social norms had been broken and that Jesus was illegitimate, being conceived out of wedlock. Now, this would not only have eliminated Jesus from the right to be a religious or political ruler in their culture, but it would also eliminate him from the opportunity to be declared the Messiah. Where does Jesus come from? Well, he tells them. He said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Jesus was sent by the very person that they are claiming as their father. They said that God was their father, and Jesus is correcting them with one of the most explosive, extraordinary responses that he ever gave. Now, once again, on the subject of parentage, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. What could possibly be worse than the accusation that somebody is illegitimate as a child? What could possibly be more disqualifying for spiritual leadership than that your parents did something wrong? Well, what's worse than being illegitimate is being the legitimate child of the devil. Jesus makes it clear that they do all have the same father, but it's not the one that they think, or at least not the one they publicly claim. Their origin is literally demonic, and therefore they want to do the works of their father, Satan. Now, this is obviously not a biological statement, but a spiritual one. The devil is their spiritual father. And as I said, This is where they're going to grasp at as many straws as they can, trying to undermine Jesus. They want to make him look as bad as possible. So their next line of argumentation goes like this. They said, quote, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Like, if you wanted to make the biggest insult that you could, this has political, sociological, and theological implications all wrapped into one. Hey, you're a Samaritan, right? Now, please understand, they know that this is not true. Just a minute ago, they revealed that they knew something about Jesus' earthly parents. They understand the story of Mary and Joseph. They claim, in fact, to know more than anyone else was letting on by claiming that he was born of sexual immorality. And now they're making up a story with a totally different claim. Aren't you actually a Samaritan? Oh, yeah, and don't you also have a demon? Now, there's a little bit of back and forth at this point, but it ends up going right back to the question of parentage. But this time with a promise. Jesus promises that if anyone believes in him, they will never taste death. And the Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus has just made himself out to be better than Abraham, that's clear, and better than the prophets, that's clear. He has better promises. If you follow me and believe in me, then you will never die. He claims something that they cannot. He gives something that they cannot, eternal life. Who is Jesus? They demanded to know, who are you claiming to be? And Jesus said to them, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" Now they're trying to do the math here, and they're counting on their fingers and rationalizing this and saying, well, actually, Abraham's like more than 2,000 years old. He's been dead for 2,000 years at this point. You're not even 50 yet, Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus is fundamentally different from you and me. Where does Jesus come from? He is the only human being who has ever been born who existed prior to their conception. By saying, "I am," Jesus was claiming to be the very God who inhabited the burning bush that spoke to Moses. He was claiming to be the very God who led the people out of Egypt. He was there during the life of Abraham. He was there and Abraham rejoiced. He was there during the life of Noah. He was there during the life of Adam and Eve. He was there before them. He was there in the beginning. In fact, all things were created by him, through him, and for him. The Pharisees understood what he was claiming here. That is why they picked up stones and tried to kill him. Where is Jesus from? Well, he tells us that he is from above. He tells us that he is from God the Father. He tells us that he is from eternity. What child is this? He is the Son of God, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. As Jesus said to these original listeners in John 8:24, "Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Now again, if you are here and you have not yet followed Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to consider these claims of Jesus. He either is unimportant and irrelevant, and there is no purpose in you being here tonight, or he is the most important person in the history of the universe, and his claims have bearing on your life. Jesus said that he came here so that you might have life, and that there is only death apart from him. And so if you are here as an unbeliever, a Merry Christmas. Jesus was born to be life for dead people like us. We desperately need that life. There is no eternal life apart from him, and there is no relationship to the Father apart from him. Consider these claims. And the Bible teaches us that if you believe that he is the Son of God and believe that he lived a perfect life and believe that he died on the cross and that he rose again, that he now lives forever to rule and reign as your Lord and Savior, then you will be saved and you will have that eternal life. Merry Christmas, light and life to all he brings. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would please give light to everyone who is still in darkness, who is in this room. Please open our understanding. Give life to those who are dead. Lord, I ask that you would please help those of us who know you to keep Jesus central in this Christmas season. Tomorrow, as we go about the craziness of opening gifts and family and dinners and all sorts of fun things, help us to be reminded of the greatest gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. It's in his name that we pray these things. Amen.